What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Friday edition of Unpaved on Rumble, YouTube, anywhere you get
Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iTunes, all of it, brother. All of it, right?
So make sure wherever you get your podcast, video, or just audio, like, subscribe, do it at all of the channels. So then you can see our pretty faces, you know, because
when people see the moneymaker,
we know the numbers go way up.
Have you seen the moneymaker, Segs?
Right.
But here's what I don't want people to get caught up in, thinking that we're just a pretty face.
Right.
That we're just a pretty face. I mean, there's substance here. I mean, like, you're not going to get the horse shit stuff you get. Like a guy going on that's made $7, $8 million a year from a company, I'll leave names out, who I respect his grind. I do. And he's always been good to me. But some, we're not going to come on here or go on a video and tell you, you shouldn't be getting baptized early in the morning before a football game, because that means you're not interested and you're ready to check out on the Jacksonville Jaguars if you're Travis Hunter. Now, there's no more stupid, dumbass comment that could ever be made. Number one, be careful not to get struck by lightning. Well, the guy woke up, went to church, got baptized, and then went and played a game. That does not mean you're checking out. That goes to tell you, which I've been preaching on this damn show since day one in February. If you guys want hot take garbage, go find it somewhere else. You ain't getting it here. You're just not. We're going to give you real, and that doesn't mean that gentleman's not good at his job. Some may question it. Some may say, well, he's not. I respect anybody that believes in something that has grind. Now, you got to decipher and discern what you want to soak into your soul and believe, because I'm telling you, there's better than half the people on your TVs, on your radios, on your podcasts across the country that are saying this stuff like this. It's garbage that a man wants to get baptized, because quite frankly, the baptism is more important than how a certain analyst or a certain host feel about somebody checking out. So if you get baptized, remember, you hate your job that you want to check out. No, it actually means you're trying to find peace in your life. But I'm just telling you, I've been saying this since February. If you want authentic, good banter, respect you when you disagree or agree with us, instead of clicks, I looked at it, it had like 4 million views. If that's the goal, I refuse and I will never on this show allow or do it. And I'm being dead ass serious when I say this. We don't say anything on this show we don't believe. And I'm never going to allow on this show for the garbage, unless somebody comes on as a guest and they want to spew it. Then I'll keep feeding them questions so they can bury themselves or uplift themselves. But I'm never going to do it for 4 million likes or views. Why? Because I'm not losing, one, my dignity, but I'm sure as hell not losing credibility to go on and say this just because it may get clicks for money, a couple extra bucks on his social media. I'll quit before I'll do that. I already have done stuff, walked away from opportunities that I'm not just doing it for that. If you want authentic, good stuff from Segs and myself and anybody else who's on this show, then you understand why that stuff drives me nuts, because we are at a time in an era of unauthentic. He doesn't believe what he said, just so you know.
Right.
He does absolutely doesn't believe what he said. So you get to choose where you get your podcast, your information from. It's up to you to discern what the garbage is and what you know they don't believe. And I know a lot of times people do this just so you'll hate them, so you'll come back to see them. My goal is for you to enjoy the show, have great banter, disagree or agree, but to have this be where you get authentic stuff. And the second we revert to that is the second Segs is out, I quit, Triple E's done, we'll all go find something else to do, because I'm at the stage of my career. We deserve to go back where you guys get not maddening, insufferable grind. You get good stuff on here. You can disagree with it all you want,
right?
But we're never doing that, okay? And I was thinking about it. I didn't even mean to start the show with it, Segs. I just can't fathom that we're at a media time. And sadly, we are, with half the crap I see. There's some really good stuff out there. This, you know what? And the fact that, man, I'll tell you what. If that's what it takes to make $5, $6, $7 million a year, they can shove that money right where the sun doesn't shine. Yeah. I'm just telling you, I ain't doing it. I'm just not. Now, if you ever want to get on and banter about that stuff, he's invited to come on the show anytime you want and sell me on the fact that Travis Hunter's checked out of the Jaguars in his rookie year because he went and got baptized. So I guess if you like God, that means that, or Jesus, or you like to do stuff that gives you peace of mind, then that means you're not in it. Actually, I know some people that could actually use more Jesus in their life, or whoever they pray to. So I'll leave it at that, Segs, to start this show. It's garbage. So you got it. I ain't telling you what you got to discern out there, what's hot take and what somebody believes. But you damn well know that when you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, I don't even believe that, man. I got 4 million views. Look, that just added another $100,000 to my wallet. I respect anybody who works hard and stands for something, but I will not listen to or even soak in the garbage when I know somebody doesn't stand for that, because that was trash, simple trash, and you and I both know it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something we could do shit weekly, where, you know, we take 5 minutes and we just find the dumbest shit we see from actual analysts, or, you know, people like you're talking about, or Paul Pierce on Shannon Sharpe's podcast talking about how he can do everything better than every great scorer in NBA history. I mean, just the stupidity of these guys to continue to go out there and spew this nonsense is just incredibly stupid.
Segs, let me tell you one last thing about that. I sat here and think to myself, sorry, I had a big cough and then a sneeze, and I didn't want to hawk on air. Okay. I mean, I know some people like to hawk Tua, but I ain't willing to do that, brother. When I hear or see that kind of stuff, I mean, just the stuff that you're talking about, I'm like, do people lean on this crutch because they don't have anything to talk about? They don't have substance to talk about. I start to wonder, okay, why would you go that way? What it tells me is that if you're not a hot take guy or you're not a gimmick guy, that you just probably just don't have enough substance to go on and carry a show. Yeah,
you can't
without being 45 guests or 1,000 comments to you, just so you can get that going, because you really just can't go on and talk. Why is Travis Hunter not playing offense or defense? Why does he do it on game day? Well, maybe it was good. Guys wake up and go to the stadium 4 hours early. Guys wake up and go to breakfast and show up 2 hours early because there's a time when they want you at the stadium. So why do we have Bible study the night before, Segs? Does that mean you're not focused on the game? So my point is it tells me, and I think Dr. J said the same thing, it tells me when you're a hot take gimmick guy, no matter how hard you work, you don't have enough substance to prepare to give me a real take on real stuff. And we just won't do it. And I won't. Give me a passionate opinion. Some may think it's hot take, but when we talk on the show, we talk about why would I say something I don't believe on this show? What good is it? The money's not worth it. Hell, I've lived in a truck for 120 days when I ran a post-NFL career, post-ESPN career. I know what it's like to drive into a hotel parking lot, sleep in the back truck because I can't afford it to go in because you're putting kids through school,
right,
and you got to sleep on buddy's couch. I don't mean that as a pat on the back or woe is me, but I do know what that looks like. And if that's where I had to go back or hot takes, I ain't doing it, dude. I'm just not. And I am at the stage of my career. Listen, I know how to earn money, and I know how to go get a job, and I do that. I ain't doing that. And if that's what it requires, they can stuff it up their ass. Anybody that wants to go there. Yeah. I don't mean that disrespectful or dirty. It's just a fact. I ain't doing it for the money. And anybody that does, you folks that listen to that on a daily basis and like it, then we're probably not for you.
Yes.
You want passionate, good stuff, then here we are. So there you go.
Yes. Well said, well said. Before we get to Thursday Night Football and the craziness that was Bengals Steelers, let's pay off our poll question from yesterday. Who is your QB1 for next year's NFL draft? We listed Fernando Mendoza out of Indiana, Ty Simpson from Alabama, Dante Moore from Oregon, or Lenora Sellers from South Carolina. Fernando Mendoza, 40% of the vote, with Ty Simpson behind him at 28, then Dante Moore, then Lenora Sellers. So it kind of went right in order that we had it. I picked Mendoza. I think right now, when you just look at their overall game, I think he has the best upside. I know you have mentioned Ty Simpson and the fact that he seems like you can trust him a little bit more as just a kind of professional type quarterback.
Or a first-year starter, too, Segs, yeah, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? He looks like he's been starting for 3 years with the way he handles it.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember, guys, he's got what, Segs? As far as legitimate, he's the starter. What, a handful of starts this year?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's about it, right? And that's a good point. Sawyer Robinson at Baylor is a good player. A good player. We only can list four, guys. We can't list them all. That's why we want your banter. Names we left Arch off the list. There's names we left off the list. Yep. Nussmeier wasn't on there, and some had him as the first guy. And this may change in 2 months, Segs. But if the draft were today, most people feel Mendoza's the guy. His performance is bringing that about. And Segs, you got the measurables with the size that people love, even though 6'1" guys are pretty good in the league. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. And then, but people are intrigued. And then you've got the performance. And now a coach that also signed for a long time. So that dispels he's going. So all that together. But the poll was a good
one. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Our poll today, we talked about our college football blue bloods, and we're going to talk about college basketball blue bloods in a few weeks or a month once the season gets going. But the question is, can you lose blue blood status in college football or basketball? Right now we're at 80% yes, and it should be higher because I accidentally clicked no. So I should have one more vote there for yes.
The big ass fat fingers we got. Six. Yeah, like, right. You push just that, right.
Push that little Jesus, but whatever. Yes, I believe you can lose it. Nebraska, as we've talked about, I think is on that verge in college football, for example, of a team that is getting close to losing that status.
And Stegs, I would like people on that, if they can, the comments are important. We like the, you know, the suggest, like when you put up the quarterback, Sawyer, good one to think about. Or why don't we have this guy? Or, man, we'll look at this sneaky guy that maybe we don't see enough of that's at a smaller school. Also, how many years does it take of inept play to lose blue blood? Like in basketball, when we get there, Stegs, we can have, like let's just say Kansas for the hell of it.
Right.
They that's a blue blood program, right? When we get to basketball.
100%.
How many years of being a 12 seed or missing the tournament would it take for us to say, Allen Fieldhouse, there's no more tradition there. This is no longer blue blood. So get that in mind, because I'd like to see if somebody says, is it 10 years? You know, is it because you missed an era like Dr. J really? It says even you weren't around. I mean, you were just a kid when Nebraska was dominant, right?
Yeah, so that was like kind of my first football memory was that time period of Lawrence Phillips and all that stuff.
And even before then, when Johnny Rogers in the 70s, you know, before you were born, when they really started that run with Devaney and with the coach and with Johnny Rogers and all the great players that they've had, a Rich Glover, people wouldn't know about Stegs. You probably never heard, was a dominant, like Lombardi or Outland trophy guy. And that's when it started. And it goes through Remington and Dean Steinkuhler when you were alive. But because you weren't alive and don't know about him, does that not make them still a blue blood, right?
No, 100%.
It's the success. So but your pops could tell you, Greg Pruitt and Johnny Rogers were off the charts. So I think I just kind of like also a time frame when they answer it to tell us maybe underneath, man, 15 years of ineptness or a decade or 5 years or 30 years. So, or is there some that have got so much skin in the game, like John Wooden's UCLA Bruins, Sakes, that you can go 50 years with Lou Alcindor and Bill Walton and all that group, 50 years of ineptness, and John Wooden still got you. This is still a blue blood. Because they're Sakes, guys your age and younger would never look at UCLA as a blue blood if they didn't know John Wooden, Bill Walton, and Lou Alcindor went there. They'd say, UCLA, they're just sometimes – they'd think UConn, which is a phenomenal program, is a bigger blue blood than UCLA. And yet you say, oh, you know who John Wooden is? Oh, my bad. You know what I'm saying? It just kind of depends on eras, but it's interesting. And I didn't mean to spend so much time on the poll question, but I find this to be a really intriguing question because I don't know where the time frame is. It cuts you off or eliminates you from blue blood status.
Right. So you'll have all weekend. You guys vote on it, comment on it. Tell us how long. Tell us teams that you think have fallen off of college football or college basketball, or teams that you think have worked their way onto it with the way they've played over the last, 30, 40 years, 10 years, if you think it's 10 years, however you feel it works. But Sean, we got to talk about Thursday Night Football. Joe Flacco looked like Joe Flacco from 10 plus years ago, threw three touchdowns. Jamar Chase had 23 targets. He had 16 catches, 161 yards, and a touchdown. We had offense all over the place. Chase Brown ran for over 100 yards on just 11 carries. Joe Flacco, as I mentioned, threw three touchdowns, over 340 yards passing. Aaron Rodgers, 250 yards passing. He threw four touchdowns, did have two picks. Jaylen Warren had 127 yards on 16 carries, and Pat Freiermuth had 111 yards on five catches and two touchdowns. So offensive explosion in the game last night, but the Steelers fall short in a game, and this continues this NFL where we feel like you think you have something figured out, and then the Bengals go out and win, and the Bengals' defense is terrible. But, Sean, this Steelers' defense is a problem for Pittsburgh moving forward in a division that right now with the way the Ravens are playing, you should run away and hide, but you can't lose division games like this.
10 games is going to win the division, Sakes. 10 wins. If you get to 11, I can guarantee, I'm telling you right now, I'm guaranteeing you they're winning this.
Guarantee it. Yes. I still think it could be 9.
Yes. Oh, yeah. 10, you're like feeling real comfortable. 11, yes. I'm guaranteeing 10. You're walking away with the division. I don't care how. Don't care how healthy Baltimore gets, because when they were healthy, they were still struggling on the defensive side of the ball. Real quick on this, I can tell you. One is Pittsburgh's defense is overrated, and it's going to prevent them from getting into the Super Bowl at this rate. I'm just telling you. And I hate saying that, because when I think Steelers, the first thing that always comes to my mind over the time I played, the time after me, the time I broadcasted on television, and now, it's always been Steelers defense, physicality on the offensive line, and everything else filled in. There's no disrespect for Ben Roethlisberger. When he came along, they finally threw it. But you get my point. That's how perception of Pittsburgh Steeler football has always been for me. I played against them enough to know, coming out of their fist fights, I never left the game without having my ass kicked, even when we won. And I played against them in Three Rivers. I know that feeling, and that's who they are. That's going to keep them out of where they want to go. And at this rate, it will keep them out of where they want to go. How do they fix it and get consistent? That's been a downfall for them, and I can't believe we're saying it, but it is. The strength of their team's the offense right now, and we've been begging for that for a handful of years. On the other side, this is also an indictment on the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns' offensive game plan sucks ass, and now you can get a guy like Joe Flacco in 2 weeks has got an offense where they are doing everything they can to get the ball to their best players, and the guy looked like he did when he threw 11 touchdowns and no picks in their run to win the Super Bowl when he got his new contract. Simple. So the Cleveland Browns, I'm almost getting to the point where the Cleveland Browns got a clear house from top to bottom other than the owner. They got to flush out offense because they don't get it. And the fans, you deserve better in Cleveland, because some of my favorite fans in the world are back in the day with the dog pound and the rest of it. So not to get off on Cleveland, but your fans, you deserve this, because I'm sure you're watching this saying, what a joke this franchise is. I'm telling you. Now you go down the road for you guys and you get Cincinnati. He walks in there in 2 weeks, looks like a pro, outplays Rodgers and leads him to victory at 40. And Sags, you know what? I've always believed, let the defense, when they dictate where the quarterback throws the ball. But there is a caveat to that. When you got Justin Jefferson, you got Ja'Marr Chase, you got Puka Nacua, you know what great teams do? They do whatever they can formation. You don't just line them up at Z or line them up at X or line them up at slot. You move them around and you force feed him. Not you're not throwing it for triple coverage, but you force feed him to create situations to get the guy the football. Because my guy, Ja'Marr Chase, is better than your guy on defense 97% of the time. You got to be smart with it, but every now and again, you just got to, like, when I'm running the ball, when Henry's going good and they're good, you're handed to him 35 times a game, come hell or high water. It was a brilliant plan by Cincinnati last night, whose defense we know isn't good, correct, Segs? Right. We know their defense isn't good. They just did enough. And every time Pittsburgh responded, Cincinnati responded back on. Look at it. It goes 7, 10 to 7, 14, 7, 14, 14. So every time in that game, they responded in a big way, which told me something about Cincinnati's offense. But their defense is going to prevent them from doing anything good, because, you know, they just can't play defense. And they needed every point to win the game last night. But you have got to let this be a lesson for coordinators. If you've got a running back name, the name Robinson in your backfield, what should I do, Segs? You get him the ball any way you can. Yes. If you got Saquon Barkley, he's got to touch the ball. If you got Ja'Marr Chase and you're giving him 7 targets a game, you're a damn idiot and should be fired.
Right.
The Cleveland Browns, I know, well, Cleveland doesn't have Ja'Marr Chase. Well, you know what? Find your best player, go get one, and make sure you're creating opportunities for that to go. They ran Joe Flacco out of the building, and he's still better than anybody they got in the building in Cleveland. So, fans, you deserve better there. Cincinnati, good on you last night. Pittsburgh, you better play better defense, or we're going to start talking about you like your defense is the Bengals, which is a shocking turn of events.
Yeah, so the Bengals right now sit a game and a half behind the Steelers for the playoffs. Like you said, 10 wins, I think, puts you in the playoffs. as far as winning that division. 11 guarantees you it, and 9, you might even be like, yeah, I think we can win 9 games and win this division because Baltimore's down. We know Cleveland's horrible, and then you look at the Steelers and the Bengals, and we just saw both teams last night. Neither of those teams, though, are beating decently good teams on a nightly basis, on a weekly basis. So right. They're going to, you know, 500, and I know we don't have 500 anymore in football with 17 games, but if you're hovering around there, you're going to be in the discussion for that AFC
North. Oh, there's no doubt. And Segs, another thing, and Isaiah, you mentioned this. I'm glad you did real quick. When you talk about the purest form of quarterback play of winning is from the pocket. I've said it, and it doesn't matter how many two-way Segs, I've told you this a million times. Even when we talk about how you train your kid and your mm-hmm. your nephew and how it goes about it all the way in Chicago. Seventh grade to 40-year-old quarterbacks. Two-dimensional quarterbacks that are run first, pass second from the pocket are not winning championships at any level. They're just not. You got to beat them from that hula hoop in that pocket, that little circle first, on time, accurate, anticipation, and get the ball out. It helps your offensive line. It takes away sacks, and you play good football. Flacco, too. Here's a 40-year-old that threw the ball from the pocket like it's supposed to happen. Now, if you're fortunate to have Lamar Jackson's feet or Josh Allen's feet, that's a great thing. Never is a hard thing to say, but you always start from in here in that hula hoop in the pocket and expand. If you're a, hey, man, athletic and get him out there first, but we'll be okay at times from the pocket, you're not winning a Super Bowl unless you have the Baltimore Ravens 2000 defense. And even then, they had a pocket guy in Trent Dilfer that helped them along the way. You got to win in here first, expand, and make it miserable on guys out there. That's why we go get two-dimensional guys. But make no mistake, this position's not changing in 2030. It's not changing from 1987. It's not changing in 2090. If you can't beat them from the pocket first with accurate anticipation, throws on time, and then expand. Now, we're a little archaic. If you can't move at all, you got to be able to expand the pocket. I'm talking about first things first. I'm going to win more than you are from here first, out there second, than you are out there first, in here second. Last night was another example of it. Pocket quarterbacks with athleticism win championships. Athletic quarterbacks who can't make the throw from the pocket don't. And it's going to hold true at every level forever. Maybe not Pop Warner, because you give the guy the football and he just runs around everybody.
Yeah.
You get my point. You've got to win from that spot, Segs. And last night was another proof of it, that both quarterbacks, where they deliver it from first, Segs. You have to. Even the Jackson Darts of the world, and those guys, Lamar. Lamar's gotten better from the pocket. Why? He had to. And he absolutely has to, as did Josh Allen, all of them. The bonus is the athleticism. The winning is from that little small space in the pocket, and you've got to be great at it.
All right, so we're going to talk some college football next. We're going to then hit some NFL, and I just got some topics that I just want to hit on real quick. We'll take a couple minutes each topic and fly through them, and then we'll end our show with our three picks from the NFL, three picks from college football. Starting with college football, Indiana, they give Kurt Cignetti an 8-year, almost $93 million fully guaranteed contract. If he is fired without cause, he gets every single dollar of it. And that's new. You know, normally we have the buyouts. Now this is a fully guaranteed coaching contract, which is going to change the game in college football. But it also, what's been a big topic over the last couple weeks? Penn State. Penn State does not have a coach. This was the name that was being mentioned immediately. And no, Indiana gets the job done. They get the big contract with Cignetti. He's staying in Bloomington, and it's a great thing for the Hoosiers.
You know what it tells me, Segs? We finally had a coach who, when he said, this is a dream job for me, this is my gig, I'm staying here. I built something, and I'm not going anywhere. Because I believe if his agent calls Penn State, they take him in a heartbeat. Got an 100% East Coast flair in a heartbeat. This tells me he actually really believes, and God bless him, that Indiana is going to be a powerhouse. And I saw where I think it was Paul Feinbaum, who I love and respect greatly, who does a good job, say that he's not convinced this is a good deal because he's not convinced Cignetti's a great coach yet. Well, I get that, because you want to see it longer on a big program. Yeah. I do get it. But Segs, if I gave him Southern Cal's people, I'll just use my guys because I like Lincoln.
Yeah.
If I gave him that recruiting base and those players, they're winning a national championship. He damn well may be in the playoff now. Yeah. To me, it's can you elevate guys who need elevated, or can you? It's not one thing. Can I keep tens playing like a 10? You know what I'm saying, Segs? That are great players that play great. I need to know what you do, just like a quarterback, Segs. If we're playing and I'm up 42-10, don't you expect that I can bring my mom out of the stands when she's alive and make a few plays? You get my point, Segs? I need to know what you do when it's not good. And most of the time, you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. I think he's comfortable with the uncomfortability that goes with Indiana football. Indiana football is not a blue blood powerhouse. The guys at Assembly Hall are in Indiana, right? So here's a guy who believed in what he was teaching, thinks he's going to be able to expand. I'm sure they made an NIL commitment to him, Segs. Maybe not what you're getting at Texas Tech, but coaching does matter at that stage. It just does. And the staff around him. And also, you know what this does, Segs? It gives his other assistants pay raises. It gives them security and allows them to go. And it tells recruits and it tells Indiana, I'm not bailing on you for the perceived bigger program, because right now Indiana's better than Penn State. Yeah. And a lot of that has to do – who's won bigger games, more big games in 2 years than one guy's won in 8 or 10? Indiana over Penn State. And I respect James Franklin, but look what he's done. Can you take guys and get them to overachieve when they're not five stars? That's what Cignetti's done. And they got buy-in. They don't have it at Penn State for whatever reason lately. The players, they just don't. Buy-in matters. I admire what he's done, and I disagree with Paul on this. While we got to have more longevity at a bigger program like Indiana that he's trying to build into a big one, and be successful, my eye test tells me that you had to do this move because we finally got – and this is a different – most guys are leaving for the bigger job just because they can't handle it. It got him a pay raise, got him an extension, which did matter and keeping him there, but it also gave you the guaranteed commitment – that Cignetti is actually a man that says, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and we're going to do it, and I'm not bailing on you, because it would have been easy to bail just on simple recruiting and money in the first place. Good on him, and I like it. Cignetti right now has to be considered for Coach of the Year, and over the last 2 years, he's done about as good as you can. Get out of your mind what happened in the playoff last year. They're even better now, and they're going to get better because people are going to see his commitment, and players love playing for him. I love this deal.
We'll find out a lot about Cignetti next season when Fernando Mendoza is off to the NFL. And then you got to get that next guy. When you have a guy like Mendoza who's going to be up for the Heisman Trophy, he's going to be one of the favorites as we go through this season, how do you replace him? And that's the key to everything.
Who quarterbacked them last year, Sags?
I don't know.
Remember, he got hurt at the end. He started off pretty well, the big kid. Big white kid. You know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
The kid. And remember, there was a point in time we thought this guy, remember he'd been hurt and got hurt again and was like overachieving. We fell in love with him, right? And I'm sitting here losing my mind on his name. My point is.
Rourke.
There you go. Thank you.
Curtis Rourke.
Rourke, right? Right.
But
remember,
like that,
he was a big playmaker last year. He made a lot of plays. And you know what we said, Segs, when he got hurt? How are you going to replace him?
Right.
We said it. And to answer your question, I don't know how, but he sure has made Fernando Mendoza another hellified player, right? I don't know. Is Indiana now going to become a destination spot for transfer portal?
Yeah.
Is it going to be come in here to Texas and grab yourself a 4-star, 5-star, and he's your guy? I mean, so I'm going to trust after what happened with Rourke and see Mendoza made us even forget Curtis Rourke, right?
Right.
Well, here we are now with a guy that's more gifted and worthy right now of being a top pick. But look what he's done to get that guy playing as a first-year starter as well at Indiana. So maybe the answer is in the Mendoza, in the question with Mendoza. Look how quickly he got him to produce for him too, Segs.
Right. USC, Notre Dame, big game for your boys this week, coming off a big win over Michigan. Is this a de facto playoff game for these two teams?
Yes, and it's also a defining moment more for my Trojans than it is for Notre Dame. Notre Dame was in the championship game last year. They proved they took another step, and Freeman can coach. Segs, think how many questions we had going into last year. Well, we like Coach Freeman. He's energetic. The players love him. But who is he without Riley Leonard? What are they going to do? We see, right? That's even at times when, well, Notre Dame expects more. He has withstood the barrage that a Notre Dame football coach gets. I think he's a really good coach. this is, while it's important for both in this year to be in the playoff and all that, it's more important for optics for my school, because we've got it's like the rubber match segs over the last 3 weeks. Illinois beat our brains in, so we said there's typical USC, can score, yep, but can't stop anybody. And then we take care of your team, which I would argue is more physical than Illinois most of the time, and as gets better players and mm-hmm. bigger players and more of them. And then we put it on you guys in our building. Yep. Now we're going into a very not only historic place, but almost a godlike place, because I took a recruit to that yep. field, he said. There's a reference over it. It's Notre Dame, all of it. And they're physical, and they got some athletes. They got more team speed than they did 20 years ago.
Right.
And now you're being tested on a national stage. Now there's more interest in the game because both, right, Segs? Now the national interest. And we're still questioning, okay, which one are you, USC? It is part of it. SC wins this game, Segs. Aren't you thinking this is a top 12 team on their way?
Yeah,
I am.
100%.
Especially at the no doubt. So this is for alumni, for former players there, for their own administration, for Lincoln Riley. Are you a puncher, or are you a puncher? Or are you a box? I mean, a throw, you know,
right,
a haymaker guy, or are you a legitimate boxer? Do you have skill set? Meaning, are we physical enough again to kick them in the rib cage and do it? It's optics has to be more for SC, because Notre Dame's already been in a title last year. It right. is important for USC, not only on the rivalry. And I don't want to hear that rivalry can't go away. That's for another conversation. What's been bannered. This is a must. And it's a must for USC, Segs, not only how we win it, but to go into South Bend and take care of that. And it's going to be a phenomenal. And I'm glad my guy Mike Golick's calling it on the radio.
Yeah.
And he's a Notre Dame guy. I'm really glad. That's got to be a great honor for him, too, to call that matchup on the radio after playing in it. One of the great thrills for him. But I like the game. I think it's a huge one, even more for USC, both this year, but for the look and how we feel about USC. Say they get beat 41-10 and they get physically manhandled, what are you going to think? Same thing I'm going to think. We're typical of what we've been the last decade. We can score on you, but damn, we can't handle back-to-back fistfights. This is a huge game for USC in South Bend.
Yeah, and we'll see for Notre Dame. If they happen to lose this game, that's three losses on the year, but to three very, very good teams. So it'd be interesting to see how the committee looks at them if they run.
Well, they'll still give Notre Dame a little more leeway, because the committee always right. loves Notre Dame, and I get it. But I'll tell you what, they can't lose another one, Segs. Don't right. matter who they lose it to if they lose this one.
Bigger game this weekend, Ole Miss, Georgia, or Tennessee, Bama?
First of all, can I answer this? If you defend Notre Dame, I don't respect your opinion. I don't know what you mean by defend them. I played at Southern Cal. I respect the program.
I hate Notre Dame too, as a Michigan fan. Yeah, but it's still Notre Dame.
Yeah, I respect Notre Dame, and it's a hell of a rivalry. I'm talking about just the rivalry. When yeah. I say defend Notre Dame, I'm on the committee. They get three losses, and I don't care who it's to. I'm going to have a hard time with them not being.
Oh, they're out to me.
They're done. I agree.
Yeah.
They're done. I don't care if they lost to us, to Ohio State, and to Indiana. I don't care. I'm not defending it. I'm just telling you from my standpoint in a rivalry and playing in that thing for five. I mean, we had it for 5 years. But now is Notre Dame still pulls weight that others won't with the committee, whether we like it or not. It just does. If they lose this, Notre Dame ain't in the top 12. I don't care what they do the rest of the season. I'm not defending it. I'm just telling you this. If Notre Dame beats us, it's a bad look for us, and it'll prove that we're still not arrived physically. It's more for me talking about Southern Cal than defending Notre Dame. I respect Notre Dame because as a recruit guy who took a trip there and had to play against them, I respect what they stand for. But football-wise, a lot of times they'll play, and then they'll get to a position, and they get their ass kicked in big games. Yeah. We've seen it happen. And that's just a fact. But I know this matters to SC fans because both of them are good. I mean, meaning rivalry good. That's what I'm talking about, Segs.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ole Miss plays Georgia this weekend. Bama plays Tennessee. Which is the bigger game in your opinion in terms of college football playoff? Who needs it more? All those types of questions when you look at both.
You said Ole Miss, Georgia, right?
Yes.
That's the one. Yeah, that's bigger to me because – I think that Bama, while for their optics as well, they continue to climb. I think that you beat Georgia. Georgia's on the verge of going home.
Yeah.
Okay. Georgia's on. Ole Miss loses, they still got a chance. I like that game bigger because I want to see who Georgia is with the way they've been challenged, because the truth is Tennessee had them by the short hairs and should have beat them too. I like it because I want to know if Ole Miss is really the national championship team I think that they can be. Both games are big, obviously, when it comes to SEC football. Give me the Ole Miss-Georgia game because that's another game of physicality that I got to see if Ole Miss can handle.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the more interesting game. The Bama-Tennessee game, I don't know why. It just it has the it factor to it because of the team. But just looking at Georgia-Ole Miss feels like a different level this year.
And we may be downplaying the other one. It's still huge for Alabama because look what they went through and they're playing like a playoff team. And then
right.
I'm sure this is huge for Tennessee because you had Georgia and you lost it. You don't want that same thing to come up when it comes to Alabama too. It just feels to me with what I've seen this year that the Ole Miss game feels bigger.
Yeah, if Georgia loses, it's going to be tough for them to make the playoff. So that's a big deal because we've seen Georgia every single year feel like they're right there in the mix for a national title contender. And right now it doesn't seem like that. And it feels like Ole Miss can kind of just take that final shot at them and kind of knock them down this year.
And then Georgia does not feel like a national championship team to me this year, Sags, regardless of this game. They just don't feel like it.
All right, before we jump to the NFL and ask a couple questions and then we'll do our picks as we do every Friday, let's hear about some perplexity.
Let's do it. It's going to happen. I promise you, it's going to happen. Hang on. I got to pull up it. Boom. Perplexity is going to happen right now, Triple E. Right now, Triple E. Okay. Yeah, let me get these. Did Triple E quit?
He might have quit. He might have left.
You know what?
Triple E is not here with us right now. So he might have.
So the only reason why for me to read it live, I have to have him ready to go, and yes. I don't see him up here. That's why I was saying right now.
He's not with us.
We'll get Triple E back up here, and we'll get back to it, Seg.
So let's start talking some NFL. Comments. Yes. Micah Parsons comes out and says that the NFL, basically the officiating is too one-sided. He thinks it leans to the offense way too much. And we've talked about it with the quarterback hits. We've talked about it with, it seems like 95% of plays called when you're throwing the ball down the field is defensive pass interference. There's hardly ever offensive pass interference. And he's just holding. He's like, I feel like I've played multiple years without getting a holding call against me. So do you think it's too one-sided in the NFL right now?
Absolutely. He's not wrong. I don't know if he's going to get fined for it. I'm not. He's absolutely right. The defense is at every disadvantage. Defense is you hit a guy with physicality and you're on the verge of it. You got to wonder if every single time you hit somebody, you're in a position that you're either going to get fined or penalized. Rarely are they going to call. That mean they'll give the offensive line, because if you want, go ahead and call holding all the time. But right. they'll sure as hell call late hit on the quarterback or offsides, your helmet's over the line of scrimmage. I don't even think it's close. I don't know if it's set up in their mind that we're going to favor the offense intentionally, but there's no doubt it's heavy favorite on the offensive side. Rules are set up for the offense to succeed, and I do believe that penalties are called for more offensive success. If they're in doubt and it's not reviewable, they're going to lean towards making sure the defense is the one penalized. While people may not like Micah's opinion, I'm with him 100%, and I'm an offensive player. Offense has a monster advantage, and I don't know what the metrics say on every single penalty in the league, but from my viewing pleasure every single week, most of the time it feels like the defense is going to get screwed when it comes to penalties. Give it to me. I'm with Micah Parsons 100%.
Yeah, it's just it's just so blatant, I think, is why it feels this way. And it's just, you know, it seems like, and I don't have any numbers sitting in front of me. I don't have the percentages of offense versus defense, but it feels like, especially post snap, it feels like almost 90% of the penalties are on the defense. Yes, you'll get a holding every once in a while. Yes, you'll get a pick play call every once in a while, but it's either defensive holding. I'm almost getting to the point where I want to get rid of defensive holding just from the standpoint of it's either defensive pass interference or it's not. You know what I mean? I just feel like that's kind of a an easy way out when we look at defensive penalties from a standpoint. So it's weird.
100% agree.
We had a question here from, where is it at? It was early. Lil C. White. If you were the Commanders, would you trade for a receiver, especially with Terry McLaurin? He's going to miss this weekend's game again. He's missed the last couple weeks. Deebo Samuel is not a number one guy anymore. If you were the Commanders, who are hoping to get back to the playoffs, are you a fan of them going out and maybe getting a Jacoby Myers from your Raiders, who's been talked about on the trading block? There's been some other whispers of some other guys, but he's the guy that stands out right now as we get a little bit closer to the trade deadline.
100%. 100%. I think teams that are on the cusp, I think the Commanders are a playoff caliber team. I do. They've got a hell of a quarterback. They're well coached. They got great play caller in Cliff Kingsbury. Depending on how deep they think this McLaurin thing is and how long, and if he comes back, how long will it take him to get going? I think you're limiting yourself by not going out and giving them the arsenal. Now, you're not going to sell, you know, privately sell away your franchise to go get one and give up some first rounder, but I would shop it. Yes, they need another player. I'm telling you, even with McLaurin healthy, I think they need another receiver, Segs. I do. I think it would enhance them. I definitely – teams on the cusp that maybe one player will get them over the hump, I'm absolutely all in, especially if you think you got a playoff. I mean, they were in the NFC Championship game last year. Why wouldn't I think that they can do it again this year, depending on, you know, up and down? And there's no great team in the league. There's some good ones. I would absolutely go after and find out who's on the market that you could steal that is a number two somewhere else or an unhappy number one and see if you can steal them for a second round pick. Why wouldn't you? I would.
Yeah.
And the Commanders have a quarterback to enhance that.
Yes. When you have a guy like Jaden Daniels, when you have a young quarterback who is really, really good on his rookie contract, you have to take advantage of those years and take shots that maybe you wouldn't when he's making $60 million and you expect this guy to be that much better, you know, in year 6-7 than year two. You got to the NFC Championship game. You should be making calls all around the league to see who's available.
Because, Segs, you're here, you're sitting here. You don't want to drop back down. You want to say, let me get to the next level. I think Triple E's here, so I can do this live read. I know technology's there. Triple E, you're here. Let's you and I take care of Perplexity so we make sure people know how to use this web browser and make it maximize for them at home as well. Listen, we're on our web browser a lot. I got a new AI-powered web browser from Perplexity that I need you to pay attention to, and it's so simple. For a guy who's not a tech-savvy guy like me, I'm becoming one because I got help. Let me walk you through this and tell you why Comet is the place to go, C-O-M-E-T. And my guy Triple E's going to we're gonna go through and give you a little demo on how this thing works. It's so simple because most of us, while we're doing this, we'll talk into AI, and then they'll give us answers back. What if I told you Comet? We'll do it for you like a living human being in your web browser. That's what Comet is, AI-powered web browser from Perplexity. You want to order food at DoorDash. You want to make reservations. You want to get best steakhouses in Miami. How about we say, I want to go to Toronto because we're going to get another baseball game there. And I want to get tickets. I want to make reservations at the best steakhouse and hotel in Toronto. And I got three of my buddies going with me. And you know what's going to happen? Triple E's going to look it up. We're going to get those answers, and then they're going to schedule it. They're going to send out reminders to your buddies so everybody has it. And you're freed up to do a bunch of other stuff. I don't care if it's you want to book a service repairman, a cleaner, compare products and retailers. You want to go shop online. You want to go get DoorDash delivered. You want to buy something. You want to book a personalized reservation for you and your friends. They're going to do it for you. It's absolutely unbelievable. Let me ask you something. How much time do you spend every day on your web browser? How much time do you spend scrolling, clicking, looking around? It's a lot, right? I know it is for me. But this is so much simpler because, the new AI web browser from Perplexity called Comet, it's completely changing the way we're able to interact with the browser. Using Comet is like having a personal assistant, like I said, living in your web browser that can actually do things for you across the internet. Yes, do things, not just give you the answers, but do them for you. You can ask Comet to handle tasks like I'm talking about with Triple E for you and literally click, type, search, and scroll like you would to get things done for you in the background while you go about your day. And then they're going to tell everybody else that you're involved with, that you want involved, that we got tickets. Here's where it is. Here's what we're doing. And here's where you go to the restaurant. Comet can shop for you, make reservations, book travel, summarize articles or videos, send emails, schedule meetings, and a lot more to make your life easier. And this is how it works. Isn't it amazing? Aren't we looking to be more efficient, more time, but still be able to browse around? Well, it's the obviously the best in the business is Comet, and it's got me hooked and addicted. AI-powered web browser from Perplexity. We want to get more out of life and kind of like to be more efficient and do less, right? And that's why this is spectacular. Let me tell you again, download Perplexity's new AI web browser, Comet, C-O-M-E-T. Like Triple E did, we got steakhouse, we get tickets, everybody knows, and we know where to be, and they did it for us, all while we got to go play golf in the meantime because, oh, that was set up too, and we get to free ourselves up. So it's pplx.ai/Sean. There you go. All the things you need from this phenomenal web browser from Perplexity called Comet, pplx.ai/Sean. Let your browser work for you. Plus, right now, when you download Comet, you get a month of Rumble Premium for free. That is huge. Hit that right there, pplx.ai/Sean. Go now and take back your time online. It's making a huge difference for me. It'll do the same for you. PPLX. I'm getting ahead of myself. PPLX.ai/Sean. Life changer, difference maker, and a free up your timer. Perplexity. And there you go, Segs. We got a little it's technology. It's great to have a producer back.
Yeah.
Technology when a power surge hits and you say, man, how am I ever going to have him toggle through there while I'm doing this commercial? Well, there you go. Great to have him back as we get close to wrapping it up. And sweet Bob, I miss John Clayton too every single day. Yes. Every day. He would have been a regular on this show as a guest had John. Matter of fact, once a week if my man was still with us. So there you go.
Real quick, as we finish out this show, we're going to run through our picks. We got three NFL, three college, and then we'll be getting out of here a little bit early today, but let's start in the NFL. Rams -3.5 on the road in Jacksonville with the over under set at 44.5.
Give me the over unders are so hard to pick to off the top of my head. Segs, that to me feels like under, and that hook matters to me. Give me the Jacksonville Jaguars at home, field goal game. Jacksonville gets inside the number.
Wow. Okay. I have it the exact opposite. I think the Rams are going to travel well. I think Nakua's injury does hurt them, but you still have Davante Adams. I'm going Rams and I'm going the over. I think Jacksonville's playing better offensively. I know Travis Hunter's checked out of the Jags already.
Oh, yeah, because he got baptized. Just ask one guy.
He got
right?
baptized. So, but I have the Rams and the over. Eagles -2.5 on the road at the Vikings with a 43.5. Over under
Carson Wentz game, huh? Segs,
yeah,
interesting. This is interesting the way they're playing. I would, I'm gonna say something won't probably be popular for a lot of people. I'm gonna say little Wentz get back. I'm gonna say Vikings win this thing by a field goal. Give me the Vikings at home with a team that's not actually playing great football right now. And the Vikings are coming off a bye week, 2 weeks to get ready. I'm going to say Carson Wentz plays good football. Give me Minnesota at home.
Okay. I've got
What's the number? What's the number?
43.5.
That feels like under to me as well, Segs, but I'm going to take the over in that one just to be different.
Okay. All right. I have the Eagles. I think I've said it multiple weeks in a row. I think this is the week that they get a start to head in the right direction. And I have the over as well. So three of our four picks so far were opposite. Colts at Chargers. Chargers -1.5 at home. 48.5. So a big number here for this game.
I'm taking the over in this one. Big number tells me go over. I know it's a little bit risky. I am going to take the Chargers to get back on it. The Colts come down to a little reality, but it's a fourth quarter game. The Chargers get a wake-up call. Chargers in a close one with the over.
Yes, I have the Chargers as well, but I went with the under. I think both teams can play a little bit of defense. I think, you know, we kind of might see more of a smash mouth type game with the way these two teams play that keeps the clock running a lot more. And then, so I got the under there.
Let's thanks. The only reason I took the over is because of the Colts' ability to score. Yes,
right.
Even though I know, but the great equalizer is Harbaugh wanting to keep low scoring, keep it down. Yes. It was a flyer for me, and I'm waiting for the Chargers to explode offensively. I took the over on a flyer, but I think the game pick is more important for me, and I do have the Chargers winning this one at home.
I do as well. All right. Ole Miss at Georgia. We talked about the importance. Georgia's a 7.5-point home favorite, 57.5.
Under Ole Miss.
Under Ole Miss. All right. I've got Ole Miss and over. I think both teams are going to come out and score, score, score. We're going to have a shootout on our hands. I think it'll be a fun game, but I do think Ole Miss covers that.
A lot of points for a team that's playing decent football, man.
Yeah, I mean, them winning outright, I think, here is even a good possibility.
I'm not so sure I wouldn't take the money line on this as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that's,
so I'm with you.
That's a yes. Tennessee at Alabama. Alabama minus 8.5. 59.5 is that number.
Give me Tennessee. Alabama may win the game, but that's a big number as well. I like that. I like Tennessee's toughness. I think they'll have an opportunity to play a close game. I'm taking the dog on this one. You're giving me those points. I'm taking them. Give me the Volunteers.
59.5.
I'll take the over as well.
Okay. I am
high over. There you go.
I got Bama in the under. I think Ty Simpson and company, Jam Miller, is going to play. It sounds like the Alabama running back, which is big for Alabama. So I think they'll want to run the ball. I think this is going to be a fun game, but I think the under here. All right, big game of the weekend. Your boys, USC at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a 9.5-point favorite, and that number sits at 60.5.
Over. You okay. Like the
over? I have the over
you know
as well.
How I feel about the over. But thanks. Yeah. I have a. This is a weird line for me.
9.5.
This is a weird line, especially after we saw last week. And I get concerned about these because when they get up there, I would have thought that this line would have come out 6.5 for Notre Dame. It is a monster to me. I don't see it, Sigs. I just don't. Notre Dame may win the game, but. Even if it's a backdoor cover for the Trojans that they go down with a 2-minute, I told you I don't like to bet the Trojans for fun. I am going to take them on the money line just for the hell of it. But you're giving me 9.5 points in a rivalry this big with the way USC played last week. Hopefully, it's not a letdown. It's national rivalry. Give me the Trojans if you're going to lay me 9.5 points. I got Trojans in this one.
I have the Trojans as well. I'll take those 9.5 points. I think it'll be a close game. And I do have the over as well. I think there's going to be a lot of scoring in this game.
Agreed.
And even
– that over may be done by the third quarter, Sakes.
Yeah.
My opinion.
If that backup running back didn't come in and do what he did against Michigan, I would have leaned towards Notre Dame. But knowing that Waymon Jordan out, the fact that we know they have other guys that can compete against really good defenses, that gives me that – security that I'd still like the Trojans in this matchup.
Yeah, I think their offense is at least too explosive to be get beat by a touchdown and a field goal.
Right. Agreed. Agreed.
There you go.
Yep. All right. Well, that'll do it for us today. Thanks to Triple E. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to Perplexity. And with Comet, check that out. And then our poll question, make sure you go find that. When or can you lose blue blood status in college football or college basketball? Let us know. And let us know how long it takes to lose that status once you get it, a bad play to get there. All right. They'll do it.
Love the show today, man. And thank you guys for your patience on tech. Now, you guys know how that works. We do have to have a producer to do these commercials so I can do it. But we're grateful for Perplexity. Segs, I'm grateful for you, Laura, Triple E. I got the best team and we're growing. And we're growing because of you guys. And like I told you, we are going to give you authentic stuff, whether you disagree or not. And I love the banter. We got smart, smart people that come into this show. So thank you. Segs, great stuff. And I hope everybody has a good weekend. And good luck to your boys this weekend, buddy.
Yep.
Hope
it's a good one. Playoff game tomorrow morning and conference championship tonight for my little cousins and their varsity game. So got a lot of football this coming weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we will be back Monday right at noon Central Time, 1 Eastern. And we'll break everything down that we watched this weekend. We'll talk to you guys later. Peace.